Okay, if you're first of all, let's begin. If you'll open your Bibles to Romans chapter 5, please. Romans chapter 5.
Is that in the New or Old Testament?
It's between them.
Okay.
Romans chapter 5. Now, in the year of 1919, March the 6th, just a few days ago, Julia Johnston was transported to home, to heaven. But before she left, she wrote a great hymn for us, and we're going to sing that hymn. We're going to sing Grace Greater Than Our Sins. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 20. Romans 5, 20. The law came in so that the transgression would increase. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So let's stand and sing hymn number 164, Grace Greater Than Our Sin.
Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled.
Okay, thank you. Let's talk about some prayer requests. And, first of all, let's see. Yeah, did Tish make it home okay?
Yes.
Good.
She's a little tired.
Yeah. A trip wears her out. So, well, we're thankful she made it in okay.
Did you get that home?
Very good. And how are you doing, Nick?
I'm good.
You're good. How are you doing?
Doing
good. Are you over your sickness?
Yeah, I'm good.
Gonna go to school tomorrow?
No, spring break.
Ah, well, that's good.
Well, just in time for spring break. God's timing is perfect.
Have any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes.
I'm just having a prayer request.
An unknown prayer request,
okay.
Please.
All right. God knows, and that's good enough. He knows.
I have a known prayer request. I'm riding with Herman to Houston.
Yeah, we all know.
You don't need to pray anymore.
And this is my great best friend. Think of what my enemies must say. Yes.
A praise report. One of the young men that's in our youth group, Colby, we've been praying for.
Yes.
Had the medical condition,
yes,
where he couldn't speak, couldn't walk. He actually came over to youth group on Thursday, and he's taken his first step without his walker. His speech is much better. It's coming back
so
to
bad.
Him. They still don't know what caused it all, but please continue to be in prayer. But he is, and he is so fired up to learn. And
wow.
In fact, he has some questions for you that his pastor couldn't answer. So he hasn't brought them to me yet, but I said, let's go with him. So he's going to break. I'm going to get him in touch with you.
Absolutely. I'd love to. Maybe we'll go out and have a meal, lunch or something.
Sounds good.
When I get back from Houston, let's line it up. We'll go out and eat and just have some fellowship. I love that. All right. Yes?
My dad will be traveling back from California on Thursday.
All right.
But he's fine traveling alone. So
okay. We'll be in prayer for Johnny. How's he doing?
He's doing good.
Good.
He's out there meeting some of his great-grandchildren he's never met.
Oh, that's great. Wow.
But he's been trying to get there 2 years. But
good. Any other prayer requests? Okay, a couple of things I want to talk about. First of all, Slam Camp. It's coming up, right?
It is coming up. So, April 8th, 9th, 10th.
6th, maybe.
Okay.
Sorry, April 6th, 7th, and 8th. I should probably, I better check the reservations. So, did my math wrong there, Larry. That was for you. So, very much looking forward to that. Had a planning session last weekend.
Okay.
Went really well. A lot of engagement. Am I missing stuff again? I hear. Larry, you got more to add?
People, we need to be in prayer for Phil. You'll be teaching. That's right. Be in prayer for Phil, in prayer for the young people, in prayer for everyone who'll be there. This is a very important time. They kind of get a little bit of preparation for the summer camp. Now, for the sake of John, what does SLAM mean?
Servant Leadership and Missions.
Okay. So there you go. And any other prayer requests? Yes.
Not a request, but Pat's not here. Don't forget our flower fundraiser is in full swing to help support some of these kids going to camp.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So it's just a way. People, you've got to understand what we're going to be studying again next week, and that's at the judgment seat of Christ. We'll be getting into the crown of joy. The crown of joy has to do with those that you have a part in bringing them to the saving knowledge of Christ. And so this is your part to support prayer and support financially. So this is our opportunity to gain some rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. So please be in preparation for that. All right? Yes?
In regard to that, the website where you can order flowers has been posted. I think it went out with the prayer list also. If you get it, you can send it to any of your friends. They can order, do the ordering online. It's going to be the normal pickup pattern at Pat and I's house. If you just are anti-electronic communication, there are some physical order forms on the back window, on the front window out there. For you Luddites, there are physical order forms.
Post where? Post where? You mean?
It's not posted. It was sent out in an email to the whole church group.
Okay.
And if you don't have it, Brian, let me know. I can text it to you.
Okay. Any other Grasberg things? Another one? Please be in prayer this week. In Houston, we'll be down at the, we'll be at the pastor's conference. And there'll be no class Wednesday night. And James John and Jody and Dan and I will be going down. And about 50 other pastors, right?
Yeah.
About 50 pastors from around the country. That's one of the reasons I really enjoy it, just to talk and interact with a lot of the pastors that are there. And now I'm going to throw a curve here. Mackenzie, how you doing?
I'm still good.
How's school?
Good.
Is it good? You sound like Thomas. Good. We're glad to have you here this morning. Glad to have you. Any other questions? So please be in prayer for the conference this week, and I'll give you a little update next Sunday morning in regards to that. The Word of God declares whatsoever man purposes so to give, so let him give not grudgingly to our necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. It is our privilege to be a part of what God has set up for this humble assembly to do. And the young people, the internet, so many different things. So with this thing's in mind, let's prepare ourselves for the prayer, for the offertory of our prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this humble assembly. The opportunities that you give us with our young people, missionaries, internet, various activities that are connected here in our area. Therefore, Father, we pray that you receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you'll continue to use them to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen. John, and special thanks for you being here. We're going to have a special hymn.
While we're preparing for this special hymn, thanks to some electronic people, we have microphones we're going to be singing out of.
This is called Through It All. It was written by a musician for his own solo performance, his own work at the piano, and his own voice, and it has been adapted. So please keep that in mind.
Through it all, through it all, through it all.
Jesus lets me know that I am His home.
Thank you very much. Now, last week, James went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "I found absolutely nothing wrong. You are fine." He went home and got sick. I mean, really sick. He's been, you know, some people just can't handle good news. I really can't. He's been sick ever since, and so I appreciate in persevering and singing this morning through it all. Now, I tell you, to have a friend since the 60s, when you're 76 years old, is quite a blessing. And John and I have known each other since the 60s. And when you add to that that your best friend is a pastor, that's really rare. Pastors just don't really get along. You don't believe this, you don't believe that, you don't agree with me here. But, in fact, John and I have a little deal. We call each other, and if we both agree, we go, "Well, we got to be wrong." So,
do further research.
Yeah, further research on this. So, most all of you know him, and so it was a great privilege for me to have my good friend John Hintz teach. John.
Wow, it is good to be here and to see all of y'all. See most of you. But it's always good to be with Herman. Like Herman said, we've been friends for a long time. I think I was in kindergarten, and Herman was at the University of Houston. And well, that's possibly true. I could have been in kindergarten. I love kindergarten, four of the best years of my life. And but it's good to be here. Welcome our greetings from Tucson Bible Church. And as Herman said, it's really kind of rare where you have a buddy who's a pastor. And then where our two churches have such similar momentum that it's easy to speak for either one of us at either church. And so it's good to be here. We're in Psalms 119. Let's get started with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for the many privileges that you give us in your grace. I thank you for the privilege we have to come together and learn about you, study your word, to worship you. I thank you for the privilege that you've given so many in this congregation to serve you at Slam Camp and minister to young men and women, and I thank you for that. Now, Father, I pray that as we spend a few moments in your Word today, that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, would just teach us, show us the things that you would have us to see today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. In a few minutes, I'm not sure just when, I'm going to give a Risley report. I put some slides in. I didn't get there in the first hour. And so when they come up, that's when we'll have the Risley report. Okay? See, we have to be flexible. But it'll be just like when you're watching TV. And you're good for about 8 or 12 minutes, you know, and then you need a break. So we have commercial. And then you have about 6 minutes of commercial. Now you're ready for another 8 minutes. And that's why God invented TiVo or VCRs, so that we could TiVo those things. Now, last hour, and I just want to cover a couple things. We're studying Psalms. Don't know who wrote the Psalms, this particular Psalm. It's possible it was David. I'm leaning that way. But if God doesn't tell me, by that I mean it's not in Scripture. Hey, look. God could very well speak to me. Y'all have a piano that plays all by itself. Okay? I don't know if that's the Holy Spirit over there playing that piano. But nevertheless. But it's possible it was David. It could have been Ezra. It could have been Hezekiah. We just don't know. But we do know it was God the Holy Spirit, because He's the author of Scripture. And what we do know is that the author of this Scripture was a student of the Old Testament, the Torah. Which means that now think about this, everything he knew about God came from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, and Job. Just think about that. Think how many books we have. I mean, whoever wrote this had never heard of the Apostle Paul. Didn't know about the church age. So many doctrines we know. But out of just studying the Torah, he understood the grace of God. And he saw the Torah, the Old Testament, and in fact, I'm going to go back that we get here. There's our word, Torah. There we go. Law, Torah, gives us direction, instruction. It's a body of instruction which gives us God's viewpoint. Torah is a witness of God's grace. That's how this man saw the Old Testament. Think about this. He read Exodus and said, wow, is our God gracious. You know, we shouldn't even be here. See? And because he had on his grace glasses, and that's what he saw, his grace. And through that, he developed some grace laws for life. See, I like to come to a grace church and teach them about law. Reminds me, years ago, Dr. Rodmacher was telling me that he was invited to speak up at a conference up in somewhere in Illinois, and it was on eternal security. And so he said yes, and they wanted to know his title for his talk. And he said, sent it back, he said, you got to be saved, and saved, and saved, and saved, and saved. And he thought, well, that'll take care of that. I won't have to go. And you know what he was talking about? We as believers, we have to be saved, and saved, and saved, and saved from the power of sin. We got to trust the Spirit, trust the Spirit, trust the Spirit, trust the Spirit. Wow. Well, saw grace. This young man saw grace, and so the Torah then gives us a manner of life, a modus operandi of life. It's not some legalistic system of rules. Do and do, don't do this, don't do that, do this. That's how the unbelieving Jew looks at Torah. And so, the Torah then is made up of the teaching of God, directions for the abundant life, directions for a life of reward in eternity. And I summed up his rules. Don't you love grace rules? Look, and I talked about it. We all have to live under certain rules and regulations. What if you went to work somewhere and your boss said, "Boy, it's good to have you on the team. Now go get them." Well, what are my responsibilities? Yeah, just go get them. And in 60 days, we're going to evaluate you, and we'll either fire you or give you a raise, depending on how well you've done your job. Well, what's my... Just go out there now. I'm busy. Go. How would you like that? We need some parameters. This is what you need to do. This is what you don't need to do. Even at work, right? Drive in here. And God has set up moral parameters for the unbelieving world, divine establishment parameters for the unbelieving world, and that's what makes society run smoothly. You may notice our society is not running that smoothly. What's been the problem? We've gotten away from our common culture, which is a Judaic Christian culture. And in a common culture, we can expect, we know what to expect, rather, what other people expect from us. And they expect this from us, we expect that from them. You look at you ever watch the Daytona 500? Did you know they have a culture? And you're watching these guys, it's just like riding with Herman. They're driving 200 miles an hour, 6 inches from the car in front of them. And they even have a little cultures of how close and how hard you can bump. And where you can bump them. Right? That's the culture. And as long as I know I can drive this fast with right behind you because I know what you're going to do. I can expect certain things. Now, if all of a sudden he slams on his brakes, there's a problem. You see? And there's chaos. Culture. For years we had a common culture in our country, and that's what kept us running smoothly. We've gotten away from that culture. But there is a culture for us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that culture has some parameters that we have to live inside. I love that. I love to come places like this and say rules. Law. This is the rule we have to live by. I'm going to go on because some of you kind of like, okay? And here was the rule that our author learned by. He finally realized it's God's grace rule of life. And it's very simple. Hi, I'm God. I love you. Trust me. That's the rule. Trust God. Trust the Holy Spirit. Trust His plan. And when you're trusting the Spirit, now you're walking in God's plan for your life. And you know what? Knowing or unbeknown to you, you're racking up reward in eternity. So the Holy Spirit leads you to do something for Slam Camp. I'll give you a little. And it's just, in your eyes, minute, unimportant. Okay? You are going to receive reward for that in eternity through the power of the Spirit. Are you going to lose reward because the Spirit leads me, but, you know, holy, I was hoping I could do something a little more important. See? What's important? Trust me. That's what's important. Your offering came by. Per se, your reward is not based upon that you gave or didn't give. It's based on, did you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit when He led you to give? Does that make sense? Now you're going to have reward for that. Can you imagine? There are people going to get in heaven and they're going to see Billy Graham, he's going to get a few rewards. And they're thinking, no, shucks, I don't want to follow that act. You know? And all of a sudden, tremendous reward and crowns. And Jesus saying, man, did you do a great job. Thank you. I know it's kind of a bad time to ask now, Jesus, but just what is it that I did? You know? He says, you trusted me. You trusted God. When you trust Jesus, you're trusting the Spirit. You're trusting the Spirit. You're trusting the Father. You just walked in my plan for you. Well done. Well done. Man. You're going to be excited in your resurrected body. If we weren't here, if we were at our church, I'd say you'd be so excited. I don't know if you can, but if you can pee your pants in your resurrected body, you would. Okay? You did not hear me say that. Now, so Torah is used 25 times. In this one little chapter, you know, 176 verses. And another word that's used is the word from Amer, and it's an opinion. And if you look in verse 11, he says, your word, your opinion, have I treasured in my heart. Wow. Here's a rule, if you want to write a rule, make God's opinion your opinion. Trust Him. There we go. And so forth. We looked at the word statutes, and I want to look at the word now in verse 1. How blessed. Asher. And it's a noun. And it's often translated happiness, but the real word here is success. Prosperity. This whole psalm is about spiritual prosperity, spiritual success, and in a nutshell, our author had spiritual prosperity, spiritual success, because he lived, for the most part, inside the boundaries of God's grace rules. Trust God. Okay. Trust you. Trust you. Trust you. And that's how he lived. Now, as I said, we're not sure who wrote this, but I know that God wrote it because the Holy Spirit writes everything. Probably a guy in about his 40s. He's a man who had some problems in life. I told people the first hour, I thought we were going to have to call the paramedics. Went into shock. Hopefully now you're better prepared. But life has its ups and downs. You know, sometimes life is tremendous. Ooh, I mean, it's just everything is going your way. And the next day, the next week, nothing goes your way. Yeah. Your wife runs off with the milkman. Now you have no more free Bluebell ice cream. I mean, life is horrible. See? Up and down, up and down. Here's the thing. When we're trusting God's plan for our life, and you get up and you say, wow, Lord, you know, probably had noticed this, Lord, but the last couple of days, my life has sucked. But you know what? I know I'm in your plan because I'm walking with the Spirit. and the Spirit may lead me to where my life sucks, but it's where it glorifies you, and that's why I'm here. That's what I want out of my life. So I'm just going to keep trusting your grace. Keep trusting your love. I know it doesn't look right. And I've given up trying to straighten you out. Man, I tell you, you know, when somebody's omnipotent, omniscient, and sovereign, it is just hard to straighten them out. So, won't you look at a couple of verses while we're right here. He had problems. Look at verse 23 of chapter 19. Even though princes sit and talk against me, your servant meditates on your statutes. Wow. You know what? People are gossiping, maligning him. What does he do? Get even. You know? No, don't get even. Get ahead. No. I meditate on your statutes, on your opinion, on your word. That's where I spend my time. Look at verse 25. My soul cleaves to the dust. Now, James may have said this last week, my soul is cleaving to the dust. That's normally not a phrase we use very often. It means, I am sick some. I have one foot in the grave and the other one on a banana peel. Okay? It's an idiom. That's what he's saying. And what's the solution? It's the Lord. Revive me according to your word. Wow. What a prayer. See, here's my prayer. Lord, this ain't going right. Revive me according to my plan. I told you. In fact, if you'd listened to me last week, yeah, I can see some of you been there, some of you. You play excellent poker. Excellent, and I'm proud of you. Notice, revive me according to your word, to your plan. Isn't that cool? Is that how you pray in the time of distress? Everything's going wrong in your life? Great disappointment? Man, revive me according to your word. We're not going to get there today, so you can relax. But this is the dollar file in verse 25, and that's the door. And the author of this psalm, see, this is a great thing, man. You're going to learn something. You're going to learn two things here today you probably wouldn't learn any other church. The dollar is a door, and you can't see through a door. The next file is a hay file. That's a window. You can see through a window. Just thought I didn't know that, did you? You know what he's saying? I'm standing at the door. God's plan has led me right to this door. I don't know what's on the other side of that door. Could be life. It could be death. I don't know which it is. Lead me through the door. Isn't that cool? Why? Because he lived in that parameter of the God's grace rule. Trust me. See? Going through the door, that's faith. I don't know what's on the other side. I'm riding with Herman tomorrow. I don't know what's down the road. Faith. Faith personified. Okay? So, as I said, this is the Olive file. It's the... I wanted to look at a couple more verses that we didn't look at. Look at verse 42. So, I will have an answer for him who reproaches me because I trust in your word. Wow. I've got somebody on my case. I want to answer them according to your word, according to your will, according to your viewpoint. You know what we would say? I want to answer them according to spiritual love. Look down at 67. He says, Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I'm guarding your word, your plan for my life. This author learned just a very small lesson in life. You might want to write this down. Jewels from John. It's better to please God than to tick Him off. That's deep theological truth there. You agree with that, Brother Herman? You know what happened? He got out of God's grace boundaries, His grace rules, rather. And he stopped trusting God and started trusting his own plan, and his life went to hell in a handbasket. And he said, now I'm afflicted. You know what I love about this guy? But I went back to faith. See? He says, I was dumb, but I wasn't stupid. I went my own way because I was dumb, but I wasn't stupid. So I came back to faith. See? Now, you and I in our vernacular, we would say we went back to faith in the Holy Spirit. He went back to faith in God's plan for his life. Started trusting God. Verse 69, he was lied about. In verse 75, he says, I know, O Yahweh, that your judgments are righteous, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. He says, you know, I got away from God's grace rules and I stopped trusting Him and I got afflicted. But it was a righteous judgment. And what did it do? It brought me back into that place of blessing. So we could go on and on. At any rate, I think I brought out, this is the Olive File. There are 8 verses in a stanza. 2-line distiches, so the second line helps modify the first. Every verse in the Hebrew for each of the 8 verses begins with the same letter. So the first 8 verses in the Hebrew, not in your English, as I said that one time, and somebody said, no, Pastor, it starts with an H and then a T. No, it's in the Hebrew. It starts with an olive. And the olive represents ox. It represents prosperity. And the first 8 verses give us a great clue to what should be our direction in life. And he could have entitled this, A Road to a Successful Life. Hey, Jim, what do you title this? I very seldom have titles. I should work on that. A Road to a Successful Life. And he starts off, us here. And it's happiness, success, and we need the way God has made us, designed us, is that in our souls, we need some type of direction or goal in life. Have you ever noticed that? Something that motivates us. And in the spiritual life, what should motivate us is to please God, to have an intimate relationship with Him. And you know what? Some of the rewards we're going to get in eternity, they ain't too shabby. See? And I believe that you're going to take the same relationship that you have with God, that you have when you die, or the rapture, you're going to take that exact same relationship with you into eternity. And sometimes I think, ooh, is this the relationship I want to have with the Lord for the rest of eternity? Now I'm motivated to improve my intimacy with God. And where do I go to do that? In His Word. following the Spirit wherever He leads me. Does that make sense to you? Most people, said first hour, most people, their goal in life is happiness. Never works out well, because life changes. But if your goal in life is to trust God, think about that. I just had this thought. I got to talk to Herman, man. We like to be in control, right? Can we be in control of our circumstances? Can we be in control of whether or not we're trusting God? Wow. Did you get that? You have control over your relationship with God. Because you just trust Him. Is that right? Yeah. God says, okay, why don't you get up and go to church tomorrow? Well, Lord, grass needs mowed. I know I've been home for 2 weeks on vacation, but I didn't have time to mow and I got to go to work tomorrow. You know what? I've just grieved the Spirit. You recognize? See, just little things. God leads me to church. God leads me to help with the young people. All kinds of things. And every time I follow His leading, trust Him, I'm piling up reward in eternity. And He does all the work. See, that's why I call it grace. God does all the work. We get all the bennies. He gets all the glory. Who do you think get all the glory when you get all your reward? God does. Who gets all the bennies? We do. I mean, that ain't a bad deal. It's not a bad deal at all. And so, He says, if your goal in life, literally, is God's goal for your life, then you're going to have joy. A share. Spiritual prosperity that lasts for eternity. And, oh, boy, I love this. Notice whose way, I'll get into that in a minute, whose modus operandi in life is blameless. In other words, is complete is really the word in the Hebrew. You're on the road that leads to spiritual maturity. Okay? Somebody says, what is spiritual maturity? That's where you trust God more than not. You know, I'm just a simple guy. I like simple things. You know, how do I know when I'm mature? You're trusting God all the time and you ain't asking. How do I know when I'm humble? Don't worry about it. You'll never be as humble as I. You know what he says? See, spiritual prosperity is to those who have reached that point in their life where they're trusting God more than they're not. Okay? He says in another psalm, psalmist says, oh, did I get this? I'm going to do this again. Trust God, Spirit, with your life. I guess I went back. Walk in the Spirit. See, these are four rules for happiness. God's four rules. Trust the Word. We weren't here the first hour. Trust God's plan for your life, which means trust His love. And here's the psalm I wanted you to see, Psalms 101:6. My eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land. Who's God looking out for? Those who are faithful. That they may dwell with me, may have intimacy with me. Who has intimacy with God? Those who are just... they live according to that rule. Trust me. He who walks in a blameless way. Oh, I see more and more the need for living a righteous life. Morality can never give you a righteous life. How do I live a righteous life? I'm going to give you the one rule you need for living a righteous life. Trust God, the Holy Spirit. That's four words. I lied. Or trust me. You want to live a righteous life? God says, trust me. Is that right? Isn't that easy? Isn't that, see how simple that is? Try it. Walking in a blameless way, pure way. What's a blameless way? That's a person who's living according to God's grace plans. Now, in verse 1, Psalms 119:1, we have the word way, which is darach. That's your journey in life. The author of this psalm says, here's what I've learned. Those who enjoy life are those whose journey in life is to develop an intimate relationship with God. To trust Him more and more. We could write a song about it. I trust Him more and more, trust Him every day. I don't know. James will work on that. Okay, so the first line of this little distich says that the key to happiness, the key to contentment in life, is to make sure you're walking on God's highway of faith, just trusting Him. And you know what? That will be a highway of purity, of righteousness. Living a righteous life, a life of faith, they go hand in hand. And you know what you get? Enjoyment in life. I wish I could tell you wouldn't have any problems. No, no, no. Well, you will have the solution to all your problems, and it's two words, trust God. Very simple. Now, he says that who are walking, this is a cow participle, is they make it their principle of walking in the law of the Lord. Your walk is your halach. That's your modus operandi. You know, some of you have a halach. You come to Bible class. You come to church. That's your halach. That's your principle. So, no matter what's going on in your life, for the most part, no, this is what I do on this night. This is what I do Sunday morning. Man, I'd love to play golf with you. This is what I do. Well, I'm sorry. The first, third, and fifth Saturdays, I smoke one of God's greatest creations called a cigar with some fellow believers. That's what I do. Now, see how we have some of you? My modus operandi, I run every day. I get up, I run 50 miles. You know? Others of you, we watch a movie on running. See, we have a, but the psalmist says, my modus operandi is I do everything that advances my relationship with God. That's my life. Wow. And then he says, what is it, their life? It's in the law. And once again, we have our friend Torah, and Torah is the witness of God's grace. Just, I love that. Just read Exodus this afternoon. See if you see God's grace. Huh? Boy. Then you just, you know, you keep reading. And the more you read, the more you'll see God's grace. Now, in God's grace, we have a little break. And I want to talk to you a minute about Risley Family Ministries. I told you I didn't know where it was coming up. But here it is. And we have a special announcement. And wow, this is so excited. This is Courtney's clinic. Boy, it's kind of... But there you see Courtney. Whew. 3.5 years. We waited to get this thing into Mexico, and I think it's about 3.5 years ago, Stephanie arranged for them to come get it. And here was the problem. Mexico wanted this. And so they would say, even the governor of the state of Sonora wrote a letter, and when they tried to take it across the border, they said, no, no. Because, and then several times they said, yes, it can come in, it can come in. But they would then say, or be some little small print, that the state will decide where it goes. And Courtney didn't want to do that. She wanted it going to her clinic and not, you know. And so, a couple of months ago, they found somebody who knew a guard who was willing to take a $350 import fee and so the mayor offered the import fee and they brought it in. Bill had told me in December, he said, after the first year, or in Christmas time, I'm just going to try to bring it in. Well, there was a Christian group that were bringing in backpacks of school supplies, and they stopped them, confiscated the school supplies, their vans, and threatened to arrest the people. Just left them stranded. They had to call people from the church to drive down to Mexico to get them. Wow. We can't have people bringing in these school supplies for our kids, learning them how to written and write. Oh, no telling what they'll want next. Everybody wants money. And so, now, I don't tell anybody that they had to pay that $350 import fee, because you know what? There are a lot of Christians that say, oh, no, that, shouldn't do that. Well, it's well worth it. They have to, people have to drive from their little village all the way to Hermosillo, or take a bus, to have any type of this type of sonogram or whatever done, check their heart, check anything. And a lot of them can't afford even a bus ride to Hermosillo. So you know what? They just die. But now, Courtney will be able to help them and treat them. This is the Commodore. And this is where Grady built all of that. And this is where they house some of the older people, about a dozen. In Mexico, you take care. Listen to this, men. See, here's grace. You were born in America. In Mexico, they take care of their mothers. Dads, good luck. See? And so they have a lot of old men. They live here at the Commodore. And so they not only feed them, but they house them. Some of these people are, it's like some, for some of them, it's like a nursing home. They bathe them, clean them, do all kinds of things. That's their ministry. And here's the thing I love about the Risleys. They have recognized that this is the means to the end. The end is the gospel. The end is the Word of God. But as people in the village have seen their love for these people, it's brought them to Christ. And you know what? It's brought them to the Holy Spirit. That is great. That is great. Now, there is an addition they're building, and he's even adding on another whole addition. And when they're through, what they'll have here is, this is where they'll have their evening Bible studies. And they have about 20, 25 come every night for Bible study. And they'll be able to do that. And there's another edition, I think, that's coming up this way. And here's one of the inside rooms. It's just like staying at the Hyatt. You know, it all depends on what you're used to. If you've been living in a home with maybe no wall, missing a wall or a ceiling, a roof, no plumbing, nothing, this is the Hyatt. It's clean. And they eat. See? Double bunk. There's another shot. A bathroom. Indoor plumbing. Wow. And Grady, it's interesting. In Mexico, if you know how to lay tile, that's great. You lay tile. If you know plumbing, that's great. You're a plumber. If you can lay, do bathroom tile, that's great. But nobody does all those things. If you can put a roof on, that's great. They are just amazed that Grady does it all. And it's really been a testimony. There's the kitchen where they cook. And here's some of the gentlemen. Now, if I were Courtney or Bill, I'd tell you all about these people. But I don't. And they're eating lunch. He says, hi, thank you. What happened here? Okay, oh, I left out one. Oh, my goodness. I am so bad. I'll apologize. But there, I had one of a group of ladies, and this is something I want to tell you about. They have a group of ladies that come to Bible study, and it's about 60 of them. And they begin to see all the work that Grady and his wife Cheryl do in taking care of the men in their little village. And this is what's so astounding. In Mexico, if you're my family, I may help take care of you. You're my neighbor, but you're not my family. I don't care what happens to you. Are you with me? I'm not sure that's spiritual love. Through the power of the Spirit, these ladies begin to realize, you know what? We need to take care of people who aren't our family. And so about 60 ladies have organized and they've divided up the calendar. So about three of them or four of them fix dinner for the Commodore every night so that Grady and Cheryl have some time off. Otherwise, they're fixing breakfast, lunch, and supper. And they have just had the most fun doing that as God has empowered them to love those who are not in their family. And they don't love their family very much. And I think of all the things that Bill is most proud of. Can we be proud of people in our church? Is that okay? Okay. Is most proud of is they are exhibiting the love of the Holy Spirit to other people. And then other people, this is amazing. You know what? Other people see that. And they want to know what in the world is going on. And now they're excited to learn about this Jesus that somehow or another would motivate this kind of love in these people. And so the ministry is growing and it's growing and growing. As Bill said 20 years ago when he first came to Tucson Bible Church, and he came after a guy in our church badgered me for months and months and months. You got to hear this missionary. Yeah. We all love missionaries, don't we? Love to have them come and, you know, talk about money. And so finally I said, okay. So Bill comes, and I don't know if you've met Bill, but he comes, and B-52 pilot, Nam, Purdue graduate, great guy. And he says, you know, that time they've been on the field about 5 or 6 years, says, we're not really sure what missionaries do. We just kind of stand around and watch God work. And I said, yes, that's a missionary. And he told me this last weekend, he says, you know what we do now? I said, no. He said, mostly Pat and I just stand around and watch God work through Grady and Cheryl and Courtney. Isn't that cool? You know, that ministry doesn't depend. This may be the third astounding thing you'll learn today. Ministry doesn't depend upon them. It depends on the Lord. And He's providing. And, you know, for years they would go, I've been with them, drive down some riverbed 3, 4, 5 hours. There's a little ranchero with two old cowboys. They'd get out, witness to those cowboys. And they come to Jesus. And they say, yeah, we'll be back next week. They come back next week, and there's 20 cowboys there to learn about Jesus. That's why I told them for years Bill wasn't really a missionary. It's not a missionary when people line up and take a number. Number 32, come learn about Jesus. Hurry up, don't have all day. And get saved. But as they got older, as Bill said, we can't sleep on the ground anymore. We can't get up. God changed their ministry. And now He brings people to them. And part of it's been through the clinic and the Commodore. The people in the village, they lived there 20 years, and they would never talk to them. And then all of a sudden, one day, boom, God changed their hearts. And now they come, line up at the Risley's house to hear the gospel, or the Commodore, and to hear the word. And take the, and of course, I've told you, the people in Mexico don't know you have to be in doctrine 10 years before you can tell somebody about Jesus. And so, they get saved in the morning, and by afternoon, they've already witnessed to 4 or 5 people. And told them about Christ, and half of those have come to Jesus, the other half the next day, and they're coming for lessons to tell their friends about Jesus. Crown of joy. So there we go.
Okay, John, I'll yes. About Tucson Bible Church.
Well, yeah, we do. But that's a little bit different because we're able to print lessons, and it's not boxes and boxes, and they just go through. And they Risley's print a lot themselves, and the lessons are fantastic, except they're in Spanish. Talk about legalism. Talk about rules. Legalists have these rules, and the Bible that they use. And they give, every time somebody comes to Christ, they give them a Bible, and it's a study Bible, about $20 worth. And the Bible they use is not the King James Spanish. It's a Spanish that the people can understand. I know some of you are thinking, no, it should be in the King James Spanish, because that's the original autograph. And it makes no difference if people can understand it or not. And so, yeah, pastor came down and visited and saw the translation they were using and just got all upset. No longer supported. Wasn't King James. Well, these are people with second and, the educated ones, second and third grade. Okay? Many of the people, they have to teach to read so they can read. And that's their motivation. I want to learn how to read, so I can read my Bible. Okay? Talked about motivation. Okay. Let's see. You told me 1 o'clock? 12 o'clock? And is that right? Or okay, tell me the truth now. Don't be lying to me, boy. God strikes down liars.
The Holy Spirit will tell you.
No, Holy Spirit. I was in Kiev, and speaking at church, and I asked the deacon there, because the pastor was gone, I said, well, it was Bible class. And I said, how long do you kind of expect me to teach? And he said, well, our pastor usually teaches 2 or 3 hours, but you go as long as the Spirit leads you. That's... It was in Kiev where I'm teaching for about an hour, and with an interpreter, I'm tired. I figured they are, so let's take a 10-minute break. I figure everybody be up. They just sit there. 10 minutes goes by, they're tapping their watches. You know? Yeah. Here, at noon, we're tapping our watches. Okay, so, we're in verse 2. And verse 2 literally says, the Psalms 119, that spiritual prosperity belongs to those who observe His testimonies. How blessed, how prosperous spiritually are those who observe, now here it's a cow participle, they keep on observing His testimony. And let's see if I can get this thing going again. Hi. Yeah, there he is. And Natsir. And Natsir means to watch, to guard, keep, to keep in view. You want to be spiritually prosperous? You got to keep in view God's grace rules for life. Trust me. But when I say trust me, folks, I'm not mean Pastor John. I mean God. God says, trust me. Trust me. Trust me. You know, young people today, they go out on a date. This fine Christian man says, you know, I wouldn't buy a pair of shoes without trying it on first. And she says, oh, but I want to get married. I want a man. And this is the only way. God says, trust me. Trust me. I'll bring you somebody that's not a crumb bum. Trust me. So that's what he's talking about. Watch, guard, keep, preserve God's grace rules, His testimonies. Now, His testimony is the word I know you're interested in, Adah. And Adah means His witness, testimony. So, you know what? The author said, you know, I've read the Torah and I see a testimony of God's grace. Who are the people who are prosperous spiritually? Those who guard the grace of God. Live according to His grace. And the Torah is the witness of God's grace. And I put down a few things, three things that people experience that are witnessing God's grace, that are experiencing spiritual prosperity. You've got to have a goal. Boy. Satan has a prosperity gospel, but it ain't this one. It's one Herman teach. No. The prosperity gospel is everywhere. Man. You drive a Chevy and you want to move up in life and drive a Ford? You need, is that right, Jerry? You need to send them $100. And God will send you $1,000. Now, if you send that $1,000 back to God, He'll send you $10,000. Next thing you know, you're driving a Rolls. Well, actually, you're not, but the guy you send it to is. But you know what I noticed? Everyone so far that I've known who's died and had a nice car, they left it behind. Yeah. Yeah. But everyone who has died with a spiritual treasure chest. It's there waiting for them. Can you see the difference? So that's the testimony, the witness of God's grace. And what can you expect? They are the ones who are guarding, who are examining the testimonies of God's grace. What do you think we're doing here? When you go to Bible class, what do you think Herman's doing? He's examining the witnesses, the testimonies of God's grace in Scripture. Is that what you're doing, Herman? I just want to check. He's not in the prosperity gospel, is he? This is the eternal prosperity gospel. They're the ones who are seeking Him, God, with all their heart. Wow. They are seeking God in the testimonies of His grace. Diligently seeking after, learning information not previously known. The word seek, to learn something about God you don't know. It also is to remember things about God that you knew but forgot. See? And the cal, and this is a cal imperfect, means to keep on. It means to have a relationship, to relate to someone in some way. Man, I love this. The author of this psalm, he said, man, I want to know God's opinion. I want to know God's Word. I'm in His Word. I'm in His Word. I'm in His Word. Why? So I can tell you how much doctrine I know? No. So I can tell you about the person who I know. Because I want an intimate relationship with God. And that's how I have it, in His Word. This is a book on how to have intimacy with God. Because it tells us about Him. And occasionally I'll run into somebody, I shouldn't use a woman's voice. Why is it always a woman? Oh. I met the girl of my dreams yesterday. We're getting married tomorrow. You know her? Oh, yes. I know all about her. I'm just like George Bush when I looked into the eyes of Putin and saw his soul. Oh, that's not a good illustration. You've known somebody 2 days and you know them? Yeah. Yeah, we went out one night and we instant messaged one night. Oh, okay, well, it sounds good to me. Okay. I'm sorry. It takes 4 or 5 days to really get to know somebody. We'll be married. My wife and I will be married 48 years in May. She's still trying to figure me out. I fooled you. I want to learn more about God. How do I learn about Him? In His Word. And so the reason I'm learning doctrine, I'm going to use that word, reason I'm learning doctrine is so I'll have a greater relationship with God. That's my goal. That's what I want to know. I want to know Him. I want to know how He thinks. I want to know His viewpoints in life. I want to know how much He loves me. I love that part. See, that's what I want to know. Now we get to verse 3. And verse 3, he says, I may have put it right here. Yep. They also do no unrighteousness. They walk in His ways. I have to cover this pretty quick. But this starts off with a little particle in the Hebrew that off, which is this great emphasis. Here's something really important, people. That's what he says. You see, it's no big deal if you search Scripture and you learn Scripture and you learn doctrine and you have a doctrinal notebooks that fill up the wall and you don't understand God's grace. Wow. You know, I don't want to get too personal here, but if Herman and I were into gossip, which we're not today, maybe tomorrow, we could name you people that we've known in the past that their spiritual maturity was based upon how many doctrinal notebooks they had on their wall. Is that right, Herman? Yeah. And I used to call it grace legalism. You know? If you missed a Bible class, you're going to hell. That's gracious, isn't it? See? And I mentioned to one of these guys one time, I told him, I said, you know, some people think that just coming to Bible class every night will advance them to spiritual maturity, and that's the Christian way of life. And he thought about it a minute, and he never spoke to me again. And I'm thinking, you know, I went to church three times on Sunday. I went to Bible class Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I thought I was covering the bases. Okay? I had a right to say that. But I knew that that wasn't what made me spiritually mature and wasn't a Christian way of life. That was just a means to who I wanted to know. Some people, they take doctrine as it's legalistic. They take grace as legalistic. Man, I love grace. You know what that means? I don't ever have to help you with your young people's group. Because God's going to deal with me in grace, and He loves me. Fully on you. I'm sorry, people. That ain't grace. Is it? No. Because where is the Spirit? The Spirit leads me. I better be there. Because as soon as I'm not, I'm not where God wants me to be, and the only place of blessing is where God wants me to be. And so he says, in 6 minutes, they also do, and the word do is pa'el, and it means to practice. They're committed to it. They do it. But here we have the negative, no, they're practiced, they're committed to doing no unrighteousness. And unrighteousness is in direct contrast to that which is righteous. I love my definitions. If it ain't righteous, it's unrighteous. Wow. That which ought to be done. What is the righteous life? Doing what ought to be done. What ought to be done? Trusting God. Being where He wants you to be. Doing what He wants you to be doing. Remember, people, trust in the Spirit. It requires action. I don't want to say that too loud. 25 years ago, the Risley trusted the Holy Spirit that they were to go to Mexico. They loaded up their 5 kids in a little camper trailer full of macaroni and cheese to go to the mission field. Can you see the correlation between trusting and now if I'm walking with the Spirit? Well, the Spirit wasn't walking, He was driving to Mexico. Do you see what I mean? So I can't stay in Indiana while the Spirit's heading me off to Mexico. I got to be in Mexico. And the odds are that Holy ain't going to change His mind. I say, well, you didn't want to go with Plan A. I tell you what, I'll come up with Plan B for you. You know what he says? You don't like Plan A? Let me know when you're ready. I have some distresses in your life to encourage you along the way. Righteousness. How do I live a righteous life? I just trust the Spirit. They walk in His way. Here's our friend Halak. It's most frequently employed to describe the act or the process of living. How am I living? I'm living in His path. I'm going to finish this. The word for path, really a rut. Okay? And so, we have God's grace ruts. I have a tortoise in my backyard. His name is Dr. Dan. I named him after my friend Dr. Dan. Looks like Dr. Dan. Has no teeth, no hair. Don't tell Dan I said that. And Dr. Dan has paths, so he goes around my yard. It's probably about 600-700 feet around the yard. His path that goes across the yard. And you know what? He goes the same way every day. And if you put something in his path, you'll find it somewhere else. Because he doesn't know about go around. His alter ego is a tank. And so he just goes through stuff. And I'll find chairs, barbecue, it doesn't make any difference. He takes it somewhere. But what I've noticed is there's ruts in the ground where he goes. And now I don't know if he knows where to go because he's in the rut. You see what I mean? Okay, now look. The idea that our psalmist is saying, I want you to walk trusting God's plan, trusting the Spirit, and just using our vernacular, so much of the time that you just wear a little rut. And when you get out of that rut, you know, oh, wait a minute, I'm not in the rut. I'm off the path. I need to get back in. You go a little bit further, you grieve or quench the Spirit because the Spirit went left and you went right. Hey, it's good to be a right winger, but sometimes the Spirit goes left. But He's never a left winger. And you didn't go. I've discovered, I could be wrong, but basically, that I have to, see, here's repenting. Spirit's going that way and I'm going this way. Repentance is, I turn around because I realize I'm not walking with the Spirit. And I may or may not remember a particular sin that got me that way, or it may just be I just grieved, quenched the Spirit. But I know I'm not walking. I don't have that intimacy, so now I trust the Spirit. Now, I have found that's the only time He comes back for you. Okay? But you know what? He takes off walking the same direction He was walking where I turned. Are you with me? So, He went this way, I went that way, I turned around, I went back to faith in the Spirit, there He is, okay, let's go. Boom, I've got to go the same direction. Now, I've tried this. I don't recommend this at home, boys and girls. But I've tried, okay, now take a step and then go your way. He just keeps going and leaves me behind. And I have to go through the process all over again. And sometimes the Lord gives me a little encouragement and knowledge. He applies the Board of Education to the seat of learning. And I say, you know, Mr. Holy, I hope you know where you're going because I can't figure this out. And I'm just going to go with you. And you know what he says? He says, that's what I call faith. Oh. You mean I just trust you? That's right. I don't get to pre-approve the plan, read it, and initial it. No, you don't even get to see the plan. You don't get to hear it. All you know... Here's all you need to know about my plan. I put it in this book. Trust me. That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know. Stay on the path. Father, thanks for the time we've had to come together and study your word. Father, I have kept them 3 minutes past 12, and I'm going to pray that you give them 3 extra minutes in eternity. When eternity is over, they will get a little chit for 3 extra minutes. And I just thank you for your love. I thank you for this psalm. I thank you for your word. I thank you for just the rules of the living the grace life, trusting you. Wow, so simple, yet so difficult. I pray that we will just be walking in your grace and your love by faith so much that we just wear a rut. And we recognize right away when we've climbed out. Just thank you for this group, for this congregation. Bless them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for letting me come.